Welcome to the, I guess, Swing and a Drive podcast. Is that what we're calling it?
I like it for now.
Okay.
Who knows?
We can always change it.
We can always change it. Free will.
I still know how to use Canva. But anyways, my name is Jake Anderson. To my left currently, even though this is going to be an audio podcast, is Lucas Dorton.
Well, it's good to have the visuals. People can picture it in their heads.
We love baseball and we love sports and we talk about it every day during work and figured, you know what, why don't we actually take our free time for a change and record something for people to listen to so that way we can listen back to it later ourselves and make fun of ourselves. But then also we aren't doing it on work time and we actually might get work done now.
Oh, we don't do it on work time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Lunch breaks.
Bingo. Bingo.
But anyways, yeah, we are two guys who love the game of baseball. Lucas, you play town baseball in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
I was scared of the ball when I was in fifth and sixth grade, but I love watching baseball. And so that's going to be our primary focus, especially during baseball season here. And we're a month away from the postseason and whatnot. So lots of things to talk about there. We also love other sports like football and basketball and maybe a little hockey. I like racing, so there might be a little bit of that too.
But hockey for me, racing for you. Yeah, we'll dabble into each other's uncharted territories.
A big sports show, but mostly going to be focused around baseball here. Yep. But we are recording on August 28th. And roughly about 2 hours before this recording, there was some big news out of the NFL. Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Traded to the Green Bay Packers, which I'm a fan of.
Is wearing a Jair Alexander Packers jersey as we speak, folks.
Listen, I've been collecting more Brewers jerseys than Packers jerseys recently. Not going to lie. So, a crazy trade. Parsons going to the Packers, getting a four-year, $188 million contract, $136 million smackaroonies guaranteed for Kenny Clark, two first-round picks. Packers also, I think, taking some of the dead cap off of the Kenny Clark contract.
Okay.
I'm still in shock.
Yeah, I could imagine.
I know that was a big need. Like, going into the offseason, I know it was a big need for the Packers that I guess a lot of the pundits, a lot of people thought that that was a need they needed to address. I think the jury was still out on Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa.
Yep.
He was showing flashes in preseason here, and Rashawn Gary, one of the top paid edge rushers for the Packers on the other side, but there really wasn't a lot of depth behind him, so they felt that there was a need there. They didn't really address it in the draft, but lo and behold, Micah Parsons makes himself available via a trade request. And I guess my thing was, every time you heard about it, it was Jerry Jones saying, no, he's going to be a Cowboy.
So I want to know your mindset leading up to it. So obviously, super megastar players like that.
Yep.
Especially in football, you don't see them go on the market all that often. Usually, you know, we talk about it sometimes with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, you overpay for a quarterback, you know, like a Kirk Cousins, what the Vikings did.
Yep.
Because other quarterbacks aren't out there. You got to do it.
You got to do it.
Now, your mindset, you hear, okay, Micah Parsons made available. When did the moment get real, or did you ever not have a, this could actually happen to Green Bay, until you got the ESPN update saying he got traded to the Packers?
So one, the funny thing is, I don't have any of those notifications. Okay. I don't have Twitter. Okay. I don't have ESPN.
Good for
I
you.
I don't have ESPN Fantasy
Good
on there because it's just going to be a distraction. I'm not going to get any work. But the other thing was, I started getting texts around 10 minutes after it broke from people because like it started going out. And one of them was, you need to calm down with the news. And literally, I was texting a guy about our fantasy football draft party, trying to figure out if he was coming or not. And I'm just like, what? What did I? Because I'm like, did I offend him? Like, what did I say? Because I've just been texting
back
all day.
In the text,
like,
receipts.
I'm like, what did I say? And then I got another text like, oh, you're going to be screaming around town, aren't you? And I'm like, what's going on? The Brewers just lost. I guess, yeah, I'm mad about that, but like, you know, whatever. And I just start scrolling through Twitter. Then I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting FaceTimes. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so I finally see it. And I'm just like the day prior, so yesterday, I was telling people all day it's not going to happen. Like the Packers aren't going to do it because one, there's no way.
Historically, they don't.
One, there's no way they do it with, like, you got to see where the Jordan Love thing goes, and you're going to want to save money on your cap for that.
Right.
I think the saving grace is, like, you look at the rest of the positions, they don't really have, like, they went out and signed Aaron Banks to a pretty big contract for a guard, but at the same time, you don't really have a lot of huge contracts. The only other big ones were Kenny Clark, which they traded away, and Rashawn Gary.
Right.
Xavier McKinney would be in there too, but I think a lot of his was front loaded. So next year it's going to be, you know, whatever was on the back end of that.
Sure.
And so for me, it's like, okay, little easier to stomach. It's just never in my life, given the recent history between the Packers and the Cowboys.
Yep.
Never in my life would I have thought Jerry Jones would have said, yeah, I'm going to deal him to the Packers.
Yeah, there's a large list of many other teams that I thought would have jumped in front of the Packers. I agree.
And to be honest, I would have thought it would have been like, okay, I could have seen probably the Bears would have been one. I could have seen, I think, the Dolphins. I could have seen jumping in there.
Maybe like a New England. I mean, I know they've got money. You know,
New England. I could see even the 49ers.
Sure. Yeah, they've not been afraid to make moves.
They've not been afraid to make moves, and there was the whole Trey Lance thing and stuff like that a few years ago too. So, for me, I don't know. I would not have guessed he went to Green Bay. It's going to take a day probably to sink in, but then it's like, you know, week one. Hopefully, we see. Well, he can't be in the 11 jersey. Jaden Reed's got that. There may be some deal there, or
there's some negotiation going on right now.
Or he's gonna pick out, like, he may pull out some other jersey that, you know, we wouldn't expect him to be in, and, you know, go from there. But yeah, some logistics there maybe to figure out. But yeah, I mean, a huge trade that kind of shakes the landscape of the NFC North, and definitely is something that I'm just kind of like, you know. I was so on our chances in the division. I figured, you know, we can be a playoff team, but now it's kind of like, all right, that could swing things a little bit.
Doesn't hurt your chances.
No.
Now, you kind of mentioned it, the money. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a big discussion topic. $188 million over 4 years.
Yep.
$136 of that guaranteed.
All up front, bring the Brinks truck up. Like, so probably need three of them.
We kind of mentioned it before we got on air. Mm. Obviously, the salary cap a couple years is going up, and that helps. Does that, are you worried about the potential future of, if there are some standout guys that want to get paid, or free agency? I know the Packers historically aren't a huge, we're going to spend all this money in free agency, so maybe you're like, we don't do that anyways, who cares?
Yeah.
Does that worry you at all, like in the next couple of years? Obviously, you know, you win a Super Bowl, who cares? Great deal.
And but. I think that's, because my thing is this, there have been reports that Ed Policy, the new president of the Packers, has kind of been like, yeah, I don't know if LaFleur and Gutekunst necessarily have LaFleur, the head coach, and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers.
Yep.
He's kind of said, like, yeah, I don't know if their jobs are necessarily 100% safe, per se. I think there's a little bit of that on the line, which for me, it's like, you look at it one way, they've been winning. They've put out competitive teams.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it, and then the other side, well, we haven't made it past the divisional round for how many years now since we've been doing that. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of that, but money wise, it always seemed like the Saints were 1 year, what, $80 million. Oh,
just cap hell.
You know?
Yeah.
I think the money will be fine. The reality is, I think, like, immediately the position you think of would be the wide receivers.
Right.
I don't think there's a receiver right now that I would say, like, yeah, they're going to want to, you know, have this massive, like, position defining contract.
Right.
I don't think they're in that ballpark even.
Right.
You look across other places, like Tucker Kraft, I think, could be a tight end that may, you know, if he has a really great year this year, great year next year, he may reset the tight end market.
Yep.
I think he has the potential to do that. But outside of that, Xavier McKinney's on his second contract. He's not going to reset the market there. Josh Jacobs is going to be 29 when he's going to be up for a contract. He's not going to reset the market there unless he just goes off the next couple of years, which, again, hope he does.
You would love that.
I'm not trying to say it from the standpoint, I don't think he's going to do it. I'm saying it from the standpoint, like, realistically, those are times when, you know, those guys kind of fall off a, off a cliff a little bit. So the age of 30 is a brutal age in the NFL.
Well, especially running backs too. I mean,
running backs and for how fast the game is now too. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I would say I'm not overly concerned. I think it could be something that in the future, it could come back. Because
it kind of handcuffs you a little bit right now. But like you mentioned,
you won a Super Bowl.
But you won a Super Bowl. Who cares? Great deal.
Yep.
B, I guess I'll have a C as well because I just thought of something else too with it. But B, kind of like you mentioned, the Packers have been able to get it done, making it to the playoffs these last couple of years with rosters that aren't amazing. They're good enough to make the playoffs, you know, for sure. So you're right on that end. You're not going to have a bunch of all-star players saying, I want bank, I'm holding out kind of thing. And then C, you know, you look at it again from those pick side of things. With you guys having been making the playoffs, I can't imagine you're having a monumental setback this next year with adding Micah Parsons. Those picks are going to be in the 20s plus, which, you know, first-round pick is a first-round pick, and they are valuable. But you know, we're not talking about you're a Cleveland Browns top five pick
kind of thing. And I think the guys they added too, like Matthew Golden out wide, I think a lot of people are very high on him. I want to wait and see.
Jury's still out.
We were high. Well, and it's one of those two, you just got to see how the rookies play.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody is always going to jump in and be the Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, instant impact.
Yep.
Like you just got to see him play.
Yep.
I am very excited for him. I don't want it to be like, you know, I'm off him or, you know,
not crowning him yet though.
But I do think there's some, you know, some things that are going to go great. And I think there's going to be some growing pains, but that was the same thing with Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks and all those guys. And I think those guys are all great too.
Mm-hmm.
So, should be exciting. It'll be a fun fall in Green Bay. Hopefully a fun fall in the state of Wisconsin too, as Milwaukee Brewers are hopefully into October and whatnot, and Badgers getting going here as we're recording this. They kick off their season tonight against Miami, Ohio, and there's people high on them too. I don't know why. We have 7 AP top 25 teams on our schedule and 4 road games against those said teams. But hey, you know what?
Best of luck.
6-6 in a bowl game. That's all I want. But yeah, so. As we kind of mentioned at the top, two pretty big baseball fans.
Huge.
You grew up in the Colorado area. Colorado Rockies are your home team.
Yep.
Along with the Nuggets and Miami Dolphins. We'll touch on that later.
Yeah,
I still don't fully understand that. But then the Colorado Avalanche for the NHL.
Yep.
For me, pretty much Wisconsin teams. I will follow the Minnesota Twins as I do tours there. So got to stay in the know with Minnesota Twins, and it's not a direct rivalry. So I will swing that way sometimes when they're doing well.
You're not a tour guide for Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Nope. Can't do that. Would never do that. I wouldn't do any of the Chicago ones and I wouldn't do Minnesota Vikings just from the standpoint. I can't.
Packers fan.
I can't
do that.
And then I guess Minnesota Wild. I guess I follow the Wild. Sometimes.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, they made the playoffs, time. You know.
Playoff
made
time.
The offs. Made
they're,
the offs.
They're one of those. They're one of those. They'll make the playoffs, and they'll make it an interesting series.
That's a good point. They had a couple good games against Vegas last year in the playoffs. You know?
Just couldn't pull it up. Couldn't finish it out. I think there was one year, I think they made it to the second round, ran into the Blackhawks, and made it 7 games in that series.
Yeah.
I think that was the furthest they've been.
It's been a minute.
I don't know what year that was, though.
It's been a minute. Yeah. Some of my early college days, I had a couple of quote unquote deep playoff runs.
Yeah. But it is baseball season. We are a month out, I think 27 games to go for the Brewers here. And I think most teams are around that 27, 28 mark.
Yes.
Which means that we have missed a lot.
A little bit.
Which is okay. We've only been talking about doing this, I think, for probably a year.
Right. Yeah. Could have started it at any time.
Yep.
Waited until a month left in the season.
Yeah.
Hey, stories are hot now.
They are.
Teams are hot. We got big storylines, big races.
There is, and we're going to dive into that. But also, too, to just kind of catch us up, I think what we'll do is we're going to do our highlights, our low light, and our shocker of the year. You could say winner, loser, shocker of the year so far. Just to kind of talk through like where we feel the big storylines have been this year. Some things that we've kind of seen, and then just some things that have just stuck out to us, surprised us a little bit, different things like that. Yeah. I can start.
Please.
Because I've been thinking about this all afternoon until the Micah Parsons thing.
Gladly. Let's hear it.
So, believe it or not, my highlight, my winner of the year are the Milwaukee Brewers.
No.
I know. Shocker.
I'm shocked.
I could have fooled you.
You could have.
But what I will say is, I think you look at the player that they lost in Willy Adames and what he meant to that organization over the last 4 years, came over in a trade from the Rays in 2021 and was really the face of the franchise and just spark plug in that clubhouse, was a leader of that clubhouse, went and got a bag with San Francisco. He just recently returned. It was all love.
Yeah.
Even hit a couple of home runs, which it was funny because half the fans cheered, half the fans booed.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough. And you know, he was meant a lot to that organization, and had a lot of bright spots, a lot of fun years, hit the most 3-run home runs in a season by a player.
Okay.
And that is a fact. You can look that up.
I believe you.
But, you know, it was a bright spot. Went and got a bag. 7 years, $182 million in the offseason from the Giants. Well-deserved. But then the big one was losing Bob Uecker, who...
Right. Legend.
Legend.
I mean, that's putting it lightly.
The Milwaukee summers will never be the same.
No.
You know, from his commercials to, you know, the stories he would say up in the booth. Like, everybody... You know, no matter where you were, if you were listening to a Brewers game on the radio, you would probably hear something about Uecker.
Yeah.
You know, especially as he kind of transitioned away from going to the away games and stuff like that, was only doing select home games. Yep. As he was getting up there in age, whenever you heard him on the radio, it was like, you know, now it's summertime.
Yep.
You know, and now it's like Jeff Levering and I think it's Lane Grindle, I think is his name. They do a phenomenal job still. Levering might be one of the best broadcasters that not many people know about. When he's on TV, he's always great. When he's on the radio, he's always great. Very passionate too when he's making calls and whatnot. Brian Anderson does a lot of national stuff, so he'll get some of that TV spotlight too. Yeah. But you know, you're not going to replace what Uecker meant to the team.
No.
And they just recently had kind of like a memorial remembrance of life, you know, this past Sunday for him too. And like, it was a very hard fought game. Unfortunately, Brewers didn't come out on top, and you could just kind of see it on the players' faces. Like, they wanted it, and they had it in the ninth, ended up losing it.
Yep.
It's fine. But like, the way they've battled back from all that, you know, didn't start the year out great.
Yeah.
Now have been on winning streaks of, you know, 8 games, 11 games, and 14 games, and now are controlling their destiny for the Central and for the number one seed in all of baseball,
yeah,
let alone the NL. Yeah. Like, you know, they're, I think, what, 23rd in payroll, yep, $115 million this year. Put that up against the Dodgers and the Mets on paper.
Yeah.
And the players that those two teams have.
Yeah.
You know, and they swept the season series against the Dodgers, which I think that was the first time that happened to the Dodgers since like 2006.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, that is, by the way.
That's crazy.
But then the other aspect is just they're doing it in so many different ways. And I think one of the things that people are getting frustrated right now is just their play has been so down from what they've been doing. They're in the middle of 19 games in 18 days. That's tough.
That's a brutal stretch.
But they've been playing winning defense. They've been having phenomenal pitching when they're able to be rested and get their bullpen where they want it to be at. Starters have been great. I think Quinn Priester has won, like, or they've won 14 straight of Quinn Priester starts, which Quinn Priester was a kind of like throw in, like, here, you can have him. Like, yeah, we don't want him. Chump change. Just give us cash for his contract kind of thing. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to watch as a fan. The media coverage has been cool too, but especially when you kind of dig deeper into the stories of, you know, guys who are getting their second, third, fourth chances in the majors and they're succeeding, they're performing. Pat Murphy being the type of manager that he is, like, he's getting the best out of the guys for what they have day in and day out.
Yeah.
Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, and they've won a lot this year. But yeah, that's been pretty cool to see. Low lights, I would say the Yankees, to be honest. Which,
yeah.
you know, yeah, you're going to look at them and say, all right, well, they're in a playoff race and they're 4.5 games out of their division. They're in the wild card seat right now, but it's like there was so much expectation put on them after last year. They lose out on Juan Soto in free agency. Garrett Cole goes down with an injury. So like those two pieces there, it's like, you know, it is what it is, but it's like, you just, you watch them and it's like, they'll have games and moments where it's like, yep, look like they're good. And then it just all goes out the window,
mm-hmm,
you know, and then I'll give some credit to Aaron Boone. He's standing by his players and fighting for his players, but it's like at some point there's got to be a little more accountability, I think.
And you hope that that's happening in the locker room. You hope that's where, yeah, that's happening at, because if this man is going, which again, I can respect him going out there. Let's just say it, Anthony Volpe, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, yep, been a large, he has been very not good, mm-hmm, this year.
Yep.
And you can respect him, Aaron Boone, going out there and saying, this is our guy, you know, good defender. Eh.
He
one of the best shortstops in baseball. Eh. You know, but what, he's not going to go out there and, yeah, say, this guy's trash. He's hitting, we're on Mendoza watch line, mm-hmm, for him. Can't field a ground ball. If he does, he's throwing it 15 feet into the stands.
And even on some of the plays where it's like, you know, you got to pick it up and go to second base, which those are tough plays, especially with the speed of the game now and also like, you know, you're trying to bend down, pick up a ball, yeah, while you're still moving as fast as you can, especially with the way that some of these balls are getting hit too, yeah, nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tough thing to do. It's a tough position to field, but at what point do you kind of have to sit there and say, like, all right, this guy needs a reset. We kind of got to move things around. Because you have Jazz Chisholm, who could play shortstop.
Yep.
And you're kind of moving him around different spots in the infield. And you want to give the guy time in that position to really kind of right himself, but it's just, I don't think what's going on is necessarily helping. I do think he can be a great defender, and I do think he is a great defender, and I think he has a bright career ahead of him. It's just being in New York is very tough.
Being a New York kid as well, growing up a Yankees guy, watching Derek Jeter, like some people, I don't think everyone was saying this could be the next Derek Jeter, but
when that's who you idolize.
When that's who you idolize, and everyone in New York knows that, when you get, yep, called up, like, oh, is this our generation's Derek Jeter?
Yep.
I mean, I could not imagine the type of pressure that, mm-hmm, that is. Now, you know, you play professional sports, there's pressure's going to, yeah, come with it, right? But I do think there are levels to it. Being, mm-hmm, the shortstop of the Colorado Rockies, love Ezekiel Tovar, shout out. Is different from being the shortstop of the New York Yankees.
Yep.
Mindset wise and, yep, and everything with that too. So it can't be easy, but you're 1,000% right. Like, what's been going on is not working. And I think if you're Aaron Boone, you know, I don't know what minor league options you have. I mean, probably putting Jazz Chisholm there is not a bad idea, but like you have to make a decision that is beneficial for the team. And right now, Anthony Volpe is, yeah, far from that.
Especially when you go to the World Series last year, you get just ran out the gym.
Yeah.
By the Dodgers. Like, yep, yeah, you were up in game five and were looking to make it a series. And
thought that game was over. Judge error, yeah, Volpe
Judge
error.
Judge error, couldn't get out of the inning. All of a sudden, Dodgers have all the momentum. But no, I think you've got to try something, because at what point do you kind of sit there and say, well, he's running out the same thing. Like, clearly he's just out of options then. You know, and for a, right, roster of, yep, what, 200 some million dollars.
Yeah.
Like, those players also, like, got to realize, like, they got to be playing better. And I know, like, yep, I think Bellinger had gotten pulled over by Boone, and he, you know, was able to come back and make a play. And it's like, you want to see more of that if you're a Yankees fan, for sure. But it's, yeah, also like, feels like there's more than just one guy that's got to have that kind of, like,
for, hey, sure,
let's have a heart to heart here. We got to be doing
things. For sure. And so, and that's, I think, another issue with the Yankees is, what's their identity right now? I mean, Aaron Judge, another MVP season, arguably the best, second best player in baseball.
I'm gonna say it. He's going to get voter fatigued out of the MVP.
But I could see it.
He's deserving, playing phenomenal.
Deserving. But right now, what is the Yankees' identity, right? And is that really an issue? I don't know.
Mm.
But when you collectively as a team are going to the ballpark every day and you can't look and be like, man, we can really ride these few things with us.
Yep.
They don't have that. You know what you're going to get from Aaron Judge. That's been the same thing his whole career. Stan's been playing well this year too.
Yep.
But, you know, outside of that, it's not been good. It's not been good. Jason Dominguez, where's he been? I mean, this guy's been a top prospect in baseball for the last 15 years, it feels like.
And then
finally is up here, and it's like I've heard or seen almost next to nothing.
And when you have seen things, it's like the guy can't field.
Right.
So, and then, you know, there was the whole thing with the torpedo bats at the beginning of the year. Well, obviously they don't mean that much because since that whole thing, it's like, besides Judge, where's the offense been?
It hasn't been that. You know? It hasn't
and
been
And then
that.
Starting pitching or relief pitching. Like, they make this super bullpen, and then it's like that super bullpen, which that would be, there's a lot of talking points here, I think, that we could talk about.
Absolutely.
You know, roster construction, different things like that. But, you know, for the guys that, you know, for the teams that were selling at the deadline, they give up their closers. And for the most part, like Johan Duran goes right into a closer role, right? Ryan Helsley goes from closer to now he's an eighth inning guy.
Yep.
There's a difference there because you don't get all the pomp and circumstance. You don't have like the adrenaline as much. It's like, you know, you got to set it up for the next guy.
Saint Mason Miller too. Going Mason to San Miller. Diego, set up guy now, basically.
You know, so for those guys that are coming in those closer roles, I think that's where kind of that super bullpen idea, I think, falters a bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now those guys aren't in those positions that they're kind of comfortable with from the start of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're creatures of habit. So it's like you try to just emulate and do your routines and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know. A lot to be discussed, I think, about the Yankees. Oh, goodness.
I do have one more talking point about the Yankees before we move on from there. Is it a wild thought a year after they go to the World Series that if the Yankees... I would be shocked if they completely miss the playoffs altogether. That would shock me pretty well. But if they have an early dud in the playoffs, I mean, is Aaron Boone gone? I mean, he's been on the hot seat for the last few years. And that's the thing, is that this is probably only a talking point with a very short list of teams in baseball. But the Yankees are one of them. They haven't won a World Series since 2009. Before this last year, they weren't in a World Series since 2009. I'm not necessarily saying you got to get Aaron Boone out of there. I'm not saying that, but I know we all know historically how New York sports fans are extremely impatient. And with what's kind of been going on this year, if it ends in an early playoff exit, are we talking about Boone's gone next year?
I wouldn't be surprised if it is, because I think the AL is just, it's very loaded. There's a lot of teams who are all neck and neck, so it's very possible that the Yankees either A, get bounced early, or B, go all the way back to the World Series.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
But when you watch the Red Sox kind of resurge in the second half, you watch the Blue Jays really surge ahead in the second half, you know, you kind of have to look at them and be like, well, what are we lacking and whatnot? And, you know, it may just be that, the managers are pulling all the right strings, or it may just be that, hey, they just constructed their roster better, they're playing better at this time, stuff like that. Like, I'm under the assumption he would probably be back, because I don't think, again, you're down Cole. Judge was out for a portion of that.
Sure.
You're adding more than you're adding a bunch of guys in just trying to make this work because, you know, you have the money to do so, and you just, you know, you're the Yankees or the Dodgers. Like, it feels like they can just kind of go out and just be like, oh, yeah, we'll just go bring in this guy. It's fine.
Yep.
So I think it's more of a roster construction thing. I almost think it would be more of a GM probably would be gone.
Sure.
For me.
Cashman, I mean, he's been there since the ancient times.
Yes. But it's also like where, and meant to save this for a later one, but roster construction-wise, like, they bring up these young guys, they don't seem ready, but then you're just going to go buy, you know, pay guys, exorbitant amount of money, or bring in other top-end free agents that it's just like, you know, you're going to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then your prospects are just waiting and waiting and waiting, that all they see is, like, when they get their chance, they either have to perform
right away,
or they're going to be replaced by whatever next big money free agent it's going to be.
Right.
You know, so at what point do you have to just say, like, all right, yeah, we just got to tear things down. you might have to shed, you know, a Judge or different players like that to make it work. But for me, I look at teams like the Brewers, like the Rays, like the Blue Jays, where they build through their farm system and then we'll just add in free agents on like, hey, Rhys Hoskins, here's 2 years, $36 million. You know, like that's what their free agency is. Hey, we're going to bring in this guy. We're going to bring in this guy. And then you get that mix of, all right, yeah, we've got these guys in the pipeline that they're going to come in and be able to produce. And then, you know, the pressure's kind of off because you've been working them up and saying, hey, here's the spot. And then they see that and they're able to perform versus like, all right, yeah, Volpe, here's this. But then we've also got the capabilities that we're just going to go out and we're going to go get Jazz Chisholm and we're going to make this move and we're going to make this move. And like, we really want it to be you, but like, we've also got five other guys that could probably take your spot.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
And technically speaking, like, you know, you look at the Brewers, like right now, their left side of the infield isn't for certain because Jesus Mate and Luis Pena are shredding down at high A.
Okay. Yep.
And they're playing really well. And
Jesus
like,
made.
Jesus made. I could see those two probably being up in the majors by 2027, which is like, all right, Caleb Durbin and Joey Ortiz. Thanks, but we got these two guys.
Right. Yep.
Which, you know, I hope Durbin and Ortiz play long careers. I like them both.
Yep.
But, you know, what I'm trying to say is it's an ever-changing game, and there's always guys that are in the pipeline that are ready to perform different things like that. And I think if you're New York or if you're the Dodgers, at what point are you going to stop feeling like you need to have these exorbitant deals? Even though you have the capabilities to, at what point are you going to sit back and say, we need to have a farm system of our own to be able to go out and compete too, instead of trying to bring in guys who are, you know, second, you know, on their second contracts, they're through arbitration.
I will say the Dodgers historically have, they've done a pretty good, they develop guys pretty well. So I think the Dodgers are probably, I agree 100% on the Yankees for sure.
Maybe the Mets.
Maybe the Mets. But the Dodgers, I feel, have done a good job of, okay, yes, they're bringing in the Freddie Freemans, the Shohei's, you know, trading for Mookie Betts. You know, they're doing those things, but they've also developed some guys. I mean, you know, now they've been not great or here lately, but like the Bobby Millers, you know, Gavin Lux, when he first came up, he's obviously with the Reds now, but when he first came up, very dominant. Seemed like every year for a while, there was some Dodgers rookie that was finishing in top three for rookie of the year. But I agree 100%. Like you, like if your identity is like, screw it, we are just like, we're not, this isn't working. And then maybe that's a tough thing for like the Yankees. Like, can you, if you're Brian Cashman at the Yankees, or maybe the next GM if he gets canned, can you like talking about doing a rebuild and doing a rebuild, you know,
two different things. Yep.
But especially in New York, like, can you fully admit and then commit to doing a rebuild for the, you know, if you're Brian Cashman of the Yankees, I you know, I think it makes sense to think about it.
Well,
if, and again, they're coming off of a year where they were just in the World Series. So I'm not suggesting they need to do this right now.
Yep.
But like, if you get to a point where, okay, we're kind of hovering 500, not really doing a whole lot.
Right.
You know,
my thing
Judge
is
isn't
like,
getting any younger.
Judge isn't getting any younger. Gerrit Cole's not getting any younger. And he's just going through another injury. So it's like, I think there are definitely signs where it's like, you know, even a soft rebuild. Like, look who's playing first base for him right now. Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I think it's definitely worth at least the talk. And even if you think like, hey, it could be 3 years.
Yep.
If in 3 years you could say, yeah, we could be right back winning the AL East again, and we're just going to have to stomach it. It may even be just be 2 years.
Right.
Right? Because there might be other opportunities to go out and get guys or different things that you can really add in. But I do agree. Like, I feel like there's a real lack of identity. It just feels like, hey, we're just going to go buy whatever players that are willing to come over here.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, yep, we're trying to win a World Series, but you know, it's just not working. So
look at us. First podcast talk about the Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees.
Right, gotta away. Get clicks somehow.
Gotta get the clicks. Gotta get the clicks.
And then I guess my shocker would be the AL Central.
Sure.
Beginning of the year, I thought this was going to be the tightest division between the top four teams, and it's been a runaway.
Yeah.
By the Tigers, which figured the Tigers were going to be good, but I thought the Royals would be up there. I thought the Guardians would be up there. I thought the Twins would be close.
Yeah.
And it really hasn't been that. No. And you could look at any different number of things. I mean, right now, you know, you look at the Twins, just chaos. You look at the Guardians, gambling scandals.
Oh, boy.
You look at the Royals, just haven't been healthy, haven't been performing. So it's been tough on all three fronts that you could point at any number of the different reasons. But I expected that to be a closer division and to really kind of step in and say, you know, hey,
agreed.
This is going to be one of the best divisions in baseball to watch. Right. And it just hasn't been.
And because, you know, all of those teams outside of the Chicago White Sox, of course, I think before the season, you could have made an argument that for any one of those other four teams to be the division winner. And Detroit started out extremely hot, got a little bit cold there, kind of around the All-Star break. But then they've kind of picked up, we know what we are, we're fine. But like, you know, you mentioned it perfectly, Royals a little underperforming, obviously due to some injuries a little bit as well, too. Twins, boy, I mean, just...
I will refrain from making too many comments other than I think everybody in Minnesota wants to see them winning position.
I'll make comments about the Twins. I don't care. I would agree, living in Minnesota, you know, football, city, town, state, for sure.
Yep.
They say state of hockey. Okay, great.
Massive football town.
Huge
been to a U.S. Bank? Have you been to a Vikings game?
I've been to a preseason Miami Dolphins Vikings game, so not the same level as a regular season.
I went to a Packers Vikings game, which, you know, there was a fair share of cheeseheads.
Yeah.
Boy, is that an environment.
Yeah.
I believe it. Holy cow, is that an environment.
I believe it. And I think Minnesota, and again, we live here, so we see it and are around it.
Right.
I think from the outside of Minnesota and maybe even Midwest, I don't think it is looked at as big of a football town as it actually is.
Yep.
You know, side point to everything here with that. But, when the Twins are good, fans show up.
Yep.
You know, they show up to the games. They are loyal Twins fans.
Happened in 2023.
You know, exactly.
They go out, win the division, beat the Blue Jays.
Standing room only.
You know, that ballpark seats 38,000, but then, you know, I think they reported like 42,000 were in the stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know when the Twins are playing good ball, fans care about the Twins. And so, yeah, it is a large disappointment when you go into the season hoping, hey, like, we've got a not half bad roster to then just once again be just mid. I mean, they're not terrible,
no,
but they're mid. And, and middle of the road gets you absolutely nowhere. And so, yeah, I know that I've seen Twins fans that were frustrated. Oh, why are we trading Correa? Why are we trading Durant? You know, why are we getting rid of these guys? Well, A, you weren't doing anything with them. The Twins were not winning games consistently. Mm. Now, depending on who you talk to, is that a Rocco Baldelli thing? I know he's very 50-50 depending on who you talk to.
Yep.
Is it something completely different? I don't know. But with the guys you had, you weren't winning it. Now, I will say this as well. I will give them a pretty good chunk benefit of the doubt. They do what they did in the playoffs a couple of years ago, like you mentioned.
Yep.
And then the front office says, oh, I love what you did there. How about we cut your payroll and we're not going to sign anybody? Now, that would be extremely frustrating. And I know that probably was more of a play with the guys that got traded than it actually was, than what was actually reported, I think. Yeah. I do think it was a lot of money, you know, compared to a lot of that. But again, money, whether it was money, whether it wasn't money, you weren't dominating the AL Central in a division that I think was pretty wide open. And again, even if... even if Detroit is doing what they're doing now, but then as the Minnesota Twins, you're kind of hanging around there. That's fine because you're in a division where you can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Chicago White Sox need no introduction there. You know, the Rockies of the AL... And then, you know, Cleveland Guardians. My apologies.
I've been doing that too lately. It's been bad.
Get on a rant here. Can't even remember what the team's name is. You know, another team that doesn't have really much of an identity as well. And then the Royals are a team that they weren't winning games. They weren't winning games because of injuries. So they had opportunities to do stuff with the guys they had. They weren't doing it consistently. And so, well, you get a team that's already outwardly saying we're slashing money.
Yeah.
Are we shocked that they did what they did? I mean,
I think especially if you're looking at it from the standpoint of all the different reports of, you know, are they selling, are they not, different things like that. I think what they were doing at the time to try to help appease, you know, a buyer and stuff like that, fine. I think now it's just more of a kind of a little bit like the Yankees, just in a different spot of what's going to be the identity then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They do have the benefit of having, I think they, I forget exactly where they were at. I think they had one of the higher rated farm systems.
Okay.
So yep. They've got players down there that are developing that, you know, future could be bright, but it's how long is that future going to be?
Right.
You know, what's the MLB ETA on stuff? You know?
Yeah.
Walker Jenkins, I think
he just got promoted recently. I think to he just A, got pr- maybe.
Promoted, but like how far away is he?
Right.
How
That's
far away
guy.
Are some of these yep. other guys?
Yep.
You know, how long is, you know, can you keep Royce Lewis and Byron Buxton healthy?
Oh,
you have
question.
James Outman out there now. Great.
Yep.
Who's going to be your relievers? You know, Joe Ryan's still there. Great. Pablo Lopez been hurt pretty much all year, I think. Yep. Who do you have behind them?
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of questions, I think, to be had. And I think now, especially more than ever, now that they aren't being sold,
yeah.
I think that's going to be a lot of questions that are just going to be asked that I think it'll be very interesting to see, you know, what that's all going to look like and how that's all going to kind of move forward here. So
I was surprised when they made all of the moves that they did. It almost happened, but that Joe Ryan wasn't.
I think that
one confuses me a little bit. I felt if you're going to go all in and do that,
I think he was going to get moved. I think there was a deal in place with the Red Sox.
Right,
but
and
I
do remember that.
Well, I don't even know if the deal was in place. I think the Red Sox were interested, but I think they lowballed on the offer and it just didn't get through.
Yeah, and I don't think he came in.
They were probably looking at other starting pitching arms.
Sure.
I forget who is even up for trade this year. I think there was other starting pitching arms that were available, they were checking in on, which is like, I don't know why you wouldn't go after Ryan in the first place. But
right.
But then I think the reports were that the Red Sox kind of lowballed on the offers for Joe Ryan.
Sure.
And it was coming in like deadline day.
Okay.
So
sure.
It's just
they which
didn't
fair.
Get,
and I don't think you should trade someone just to trade them. Like you don't want to just completely screw yourself.
Yeah.
Like do something that makes sense for the team.
Yeah, and you wanna keep the guys that are gonna be the bright spots for the future around.
Right.
You know, you don't want to just sell off the entire thing. Granted, they definitely tried.
They did.
10 of the 26 on your roster. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my highlight, low light shocker. Hopefully this gave you enough time to write yours down. But
It did. So a highlight for me this year has been the Toronto Blue Jays. I think in the AL, and you did kind of touch on it a little bit, but in the AL East, you know, it's been a lot of Red Sox Yankees, right? A, big rivalry, makes sense. B, they're jostling for playoff position. So like naturally that's gonna take on a lot of the airwaves.
Right.
But Toronto Blue Jays, best record in the American League. If you are not a Toronto Blue Jays fan, or maybe follow baseball loosely, if you're a casual baseball fan, You maybe didn't know that. Now, obviously, you and I knew that. You and I knew they were having a good year. But best record in the American League right now, before the season, I don't know that I would have said that. I thought Bo Bichette really needed to do a lot this year.
Yep.
I thought Vladdy needed to do a lot this year. I think they had a lot of guys where they needed to do a lot. And to me, it just felt like too much. And we'll get to my disappointment as well soon here, and also in that same division. But just due to how consistently good typically the AL East is, the Toronto Blue Jays were not a team that I thought we're going to do anything.
I'll put it this way. The way that East has kind of shown out in the American League, everything would have been switched around if I had picked it early in the year. Like, yeah, everything absolutely would have been switched around.
Yes. Yes.
But, yeah, they have been. And the crazy thing is they're 500 on the road, which means, all right, yeah, you're taking a game or two on the road. Yep. Perfect. Yep. That's all you really want.
Yeah.
44-22 at home.
Yeah.
You know, that when they're home, they're winning over two-thirds of their games. You know, they're taking series at home at that rate and stuff. Yep. And that's especially important when you get to playoff time. Like, if you're winning your games at home, generally that's playoff success. So I think that's a good omen for them building for future. I know the Red Sox are hot right now. You know, they're 3.5 back. Yankees still within distance to be able to turn it around. But
and doing it remotely with not really outstanding pitching either.
Yeah.
That's been another interesting thing. Best record in the American League, but the pitching
not been great. Who's their closer?
Jeff Hoffman.
Yeah, he's like second in the league, I think, in blown saves, isn't he?
Is he? I'd have to look.
I think he's blown 8 or 9 saves this year.
Sure. So like scoring runs, you know, they're getting the runs and they need to, obviously getting the outs when they need to.
Yep.
But they're also just giving up a lot of runs, and you know, we'll see. Can they keep that going to the playoffs?
Yep.
And then if they get into the playoffs, can they keep it going through there? Typically, you know, as we all know, pitching in the playoffs, timely hitting and good pitching can take you so far.
Right.
And the hitting's been there, pitching hasn't. So I would be interested to see how they can do it. But for right now, they are my shock.
It's funny that you say that too, because like, you know, success. Right now it looks like playoff wise they should be able to make it in, but it's like you get a cold streak, like a bad cold streak right now. You know, division out the window. You might get jumped by the Yankees, who are, you know, in third place in your division, but then you also have to contest with the Royals, who have been picking it up recently. You have to contest with the Rangers, who, by the way, are playing 500 ball with a plus 80 run differential.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
wild. So, like, you got to keep going if you're the Blue Jays, because it's not necessarily 100% confirmed or guaranteed. No. I mean, it's not at this point anyways, but it's...
Right.
You're not necessarily overly comfortable yet with where things are sitting yet, I feel like. So, but still a good story so far this year.
Disappointments, boy. I have a couple, one more than another. I will bring up both of them. We'll start in the National League. Atlanta Braves, boy. Now, that just is a team that... Now, injuries have hurt them. Chris Sale hurting... Getting hurt, not great.
Yep.
Strider getting hurt, but then also when he has pitched, hasn't been great. And then after that, it's not been really all that amazing from some other guys. You know, and I think, to me, there are just teams where you think about it, okay, locks for the playoffs every year. Okay, Dodgers. You know, Yankees probably.
Padres.
Phillies. And then to me, I think Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
And they just are, like, so far fallen off big time this year.
Yep.
I mean, you know, even when Acuna had his injury, that was last year? Was that
last
the ACL
year,
last
still
year?
Made the playoffs.
They were made the playoffs, a very competitive team. And they lost their best player on their team.
Yep.
And this year, it's been just, I mean, they can't get any kind of momentum. Now, Austin Riley's been hurt. He's done for the year now. That obviously doesn't help either.
Matt Olson hasn't looked the same.
No. So, like, that's a big disappointment in the NL for me. I was a lot higher in the Atlanta Braves, for sure. Yeah.
I definitely thought that it was going to be, like, that was probably going to be the second best division, just based on the amount of teams that were going to be in it. I thought that Braves, Phillies, Mets were all going to be duking it out at the top of the East, and now the Braves have been jumped by the Marlins, which never would have thought, at least with the current way the rosters look, never would have thought that would have happened.
Right. And then my other disappointment, jumping back to the AL East, Baltimore Orioles. Holy cow.
I mean, about a complete 180.
Wow.
I mean, I think that one starts with, look at Adley Rutschman. Like last year, he's hitting the cover off. Well, they just signed their...
Basalo.
Yeah, they just signed their prospect that I think they had just called up. They just signed him to, like, what was it, 8 years, 62 mil or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, they lock him down for the future, so it gets him through arbitration. But then it's also, like, now they're talking about trading the guy who they called up 3 years ago.
To be the guy.
To be the guy. They're now talking about trading that guy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just... Now, a large part of it has been their pitching has been bad.
Brutal.
It has been really bad. Brutal. So that is a very large percentage of the pie has been their pitching woes, but also just the young guys.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, just step back.
Yep.
And if we thought they should be taking a step forward, just aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, that was a huge, huge letdown this season. Now, I hope they can figure it out in the future. They do have young guys, but they need to get some pitching, I think, first and foremost.
Well, and it was, what, 2 years ago they won like 100-some games?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
2 years ago, you know, they had one of the best records in baseball. They got bounced by the Rangers, I think, in the wild card series, and then they just hadn't been playing the same since.
Yeah.
Last year, I think, you know, they go out and get Corbin Burns. That's supposed to be their year, and they get bounced by the Royals in the wild card series. So it's like they just haven't gotten out of that wild card series, but then this year it was just full step back.
Yep, absolutely. So hopefully they can figure it out. Baseball is fun when the Orioles are a good team because, again, Baltimore probably a football town, but when the Orioles are playing good ball, people show out.
Well, and people are also trying to get off of the heartbreak usually whenever the Ravens lose somehow in dramatic fashion.
Right.
It's always like one play, it seems like,
never
with the
blowout.
Ravens. It's never a blowout.
Yeah.
But
and then I guess shock for me, I have a couple of them for kind of different reasons. Cincinnati, I think they are playing very underrated ball. I didn't realize that they are only 4.5 games out of a wild card spot this year until I am quite literally looking at it right now.
So
good for them.
Good for them. I think, again, Cincinnati won where it's like you want to – they're another one of those teams. They don't always get to see success a lot, but they have a good young core.
Yep.
They have some pretty good pitchers.
Yeah.
It's just putting it together. You know, they went toe-to-toe and I think took two out of three against the Dodgers. Unfortunately, they have to play Dodgers, Brewers, Padres. Yeah. Like, they have a brutal schedule that I don't think they're going to make it.
Very tough.
I feel like the NL is pretty set in the teams that are going to be in the playoffs. It's just seeding in order and whatnot. But yeah, for them, they went out, signed a couple of free agents. I think their trajectory is going up. They got Terry Francona as their manager as well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's had how much
helps
success with the Red Sox, with the Guardians and stuff like that too. So yeah, very, very fun team.
Right.
Definitely not one you want to come across.
Right. A lot of good young pitching.
Yep.
A lot of good young pitching. Yeah.
It was funny. I was watching the Brewers Red series and the Reds have been, this was during the 14 game win streaks, and the Reds announcers were besides themselves watching the Brewers because like, we have a great roster, I think. Like, we have a bunch of great players out there, and it's nothing against them. I just, what are they doing that we aren't? Like, he's just losing his mind in, like, the middle of the game. Mind you, it's a 1-0 game. The Brewers just scored a run, and he's just beside himself. And it's just, you know, it's things like that where it's like, you know, that's a team that when they get hot and when they start winning, like, that's going to be a fun ride for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. And then I don't know if... Shocking. I did kind of see this coming, just more, I think, sad. I'm going to just add another, a sad.
Yep.
St. Louis Cardinals. For you as a Brewers fan, you're probably like, you're plotting on the downfall. But
they don't have anybody going to their games, it seems like. And that's usually a stadium they have no problem getting 30-plus thousand in their
like
stadium.
They just, again, you talk about in the past, not even having to look playoff locks.
Yep.
A long time it was the St. Louis Cardinals. You knew every year they were going to make the playoffs.
Or at least be in contention.
Yeah, and they just, these last couple of years have, again, you talk about a team with no identity.
Yeah.
They're hovering around 500.
Yep.
Love my boy Nolan Arenado.
Yep.
He ain't the guy for them right now. They need to do something.
And Mason Wynn, like, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of started taking steps and is showing flashes that he could be great, but at the same time, like, again, they went out and got Sonny Gray. He's been so-so.
Michaelis has been awful.
Wilson Contreras spends, it seems like, more of his time eating the tape off his bat and, throwing things and throwing a tantrum than it does actually, like, trying to produce on the field.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just, what do you try to fix? What do you try to do? It feels like they're kind of stuck. I don't know what their farm system looks like. I don't know what they have down there that would come up. But at the same time, it's like they're just kind of in this holding pattern too, where we're going to be okay. We're not going to be that great. It is what it is, And the funny thing is, because of the way the MLB schedule is, which this also probably is another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Besides the, like, nine times I think we play them, don't really see or hear much about them.
You don't. And that's the sad part of it, because I loved watching. Again, as a Rockies fan, you get very used to not making the playoffs. Yep. So you have your auxiliaries. Yeah, my auxiliaries. Like, if this team's in the playoffs, I'm going to enjoy watching them. I like them. And that was saying, I liked watching them.
Yeah.
That is a baseball capital.
When they're going right, it.
Right. That and even for a little bit when they weren't doing good, people were still showing up to games. Yep. And so, like, I feel like the Cardinals are the Yankees of the Midwest in the sense of a team that historically rich with winning baseball that currently has no identity.
Yeah.
Yankees are better, obviously. They're a better ball club right now. But, like, they got to do some massive plastic surgery and get rid of a lot of things and just start over. Cardinals have never had a problem developing guys. We know they can do it. They just gotta commit to the rebuild, start fresh. And it's tough, St. Louis. But
I think the tough part is too, when you saw Wainwright Pujols, which I know Pujols spent a majority of the 2010s in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of it after 2011. Yeah. But Pujols and Molina and Wainwright walk off the field. It was like, yeah, that was the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was my entire life.
I hated when Adam Wainwright would pitch because it was like he's gonna shove against the Brewers and it's not gonna be fun. We're not gonna score runs. Different things like that. And it was just there. It was always when the Cardinals would come up, it was hard baseball. You had to struggle to win. And now it's not saying that you don't, but it's just.
They're a 500 team.
They've lost that edge a little bit, I think.
They have. I don't think many teams are going to Busch Stadium anymore saying, man, yeah, we got to play the Cardinals today. It's more like, we're playing the Cardinals today.
Cool stadium. Look at the arch.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they got to figure it out.
Yeah. But, all right, so that was that. That was our catch-up. There's probably about a million different things we missed. That's for fine.
Sure. That's right.
Looking ahead now. So, a month left.
Yep.
We have, division races, different things. We kind of touched on all that. So we're going to do a most likely two.
Okay.
And we'll just do it point by point that I have here. So most likely to win their division of the six division leaders right now, who do you think is most likely to come out on top of their division? Mind you, we haven't talked a lick about the AL West at all.
Correct. That one is a tough one for me, but most likely to win their division, I know the Padres are right on the Dodgers' heels.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very confident the Dodgers will pull it out. But I will say, I think for my pick, I feel pretty confident in Detroit. I think if Detroit keeps playing how they can and they don't have another close to the All-Star break kind of mini collapse. I would be quite shocked if they do not win the division.
I would also be pretty shocked. Granted, they do. I think they just got swept by the Athletics, so kind of a tough look there. But when you also have 8.5 games in your division, I think that's a pretty fair one. For me, I would say the Phillies.
Okay,
I would go the Phillies route. Sure. I don't see them losing full control of that. I know that they just had a rough series against the Mets.
Yep.
Mets are a playoff team. Yep. So, you kind of take that one on the chin, move on. They got a big series coming up against the Brewers here Labor Day weekend. So that'll be an interesting one to, again, kind of cut their teeth with an opponent different from a division opponent.
Yeah.
But for as far as that goes, I don't think the Mets are going to leapfrog them. I think the Phillies, they were playing hot kind of middle of August and whatnot. They've cooled off a little bit, but I think they're going to be able to get back on the train here, and they'll be able to close out their
Wheeler division. Being hurt for the rest of the season
hurts.
Does not help that.
It does not. But I do think there's enough in the lineup to be able to score runs still. I think if they get a lead, you've got a bullpen that is going to be nails. I think they'll be fine. You lose your top-end starter and a guy that somehow I don't think has won a Cy Young. He's been absurd, but he still hasn't won a Cy Young.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But at the same time, like I think that team is deep enough that they'll be able to make do without him and still be able to take that division. Most likely to crash out of the playoffs from this point. So when the playoffs start, they will not be in the playoffs. I will go first on this one. I honestly think it would be the Yankees.
I'm gonna
come out and say it, because again, there's a big enough gap in the NL. I think we know who the six teams will be. I think it's just a matter of seeding. The fun thing will be you'll have two from the NL East, two from the NL Central, two from the NL West. So it's pretty even spread. But you look at the AL. As I mentioned, the Rangers have a plus 80 run differential. They're 8.5 out of their division. Or not 8.5, 6.5, excuse me. They're 6.5 out of their division. I think that's going to be able to be made up. Now, Corey Seager did just have a appendectomy.
Not great.
Not great.
Eovaldi.
Eovaldi, not great. You know, two kind of big blows, but at the same time, you have a plus 80 run differential. Sooner or later, it's got to come through. They just scored 20 on the Angels, mind you. But I think they'll kind of sneak up a little bit. The Royals are also hot. And so for a team that's really struggling with identity issues and a team that's just, you know, it kind of just seems like they're just floating a little bit, I think they would probably be the one to fall more. I think the Red Sox are, their trajectory is going up. Blue Jays, I think, will be fine. Tigers, I think, will be fine. I can see both the Astros and the Rangers, or not Rangers, Mariners, being able to make it through. It's either going to be the Rangers or the Royals making it in and knocking the Yankees out. I think that's what I feel would happen.
This is a really tough, this one is really tough for me. Looking at the National League, Brewers, they're going to make the playoffs. I feel very confident in saying that. I know you're not going to say that and claim it. Brewers are going to make the playoffs.
The feelings are good. It's just,
I understand why you aren't going to crown them. I will crown them.
Yeah.
But I understand why you are not.
Super duperstition.
Yes. No, one day at the Rockies or over there, I'm
can't,
Charlie
can't
with
do
you.
It. Can't
Charlie.
Do it.
I get it. I get it. Dodgers are not going to miss the playoffs. It's the Dodgers. Enough said there.
Yep.
Phillies would be shocked if they miss the playoffs. And then the wild card guys, how it currently stands, Cubs, Padres, Mets in that order.
Yep.
I know we mentioned Cincinnati 4.5 out have been a great story. I do think there is a shelf life to that. I think eventually they will kind of come back down the earth a little bit. And I don't see any other team in the NL really catching that. So for me, again, like you said, goes back to the American League here. I as much as the Yankees have been struggling.
Do it. I want you to do it. I want to fight. I want you to do it.
I do think they will find their way into the playoffs.
I want you to say it. I have a feeling I know where this is going. I want you to say it.
I do not feel good saying this. I love watching this team play baseball.
I want you to say it.
They've got electric pitching.
I want
They've
you to say
They've got guys
it.
That are hitting bombs. Are the Seattle Mariners going to Seattle Mariner?
All right. Time for a fight. No.
Again, hey,
go ahead.
I don't want that to happen. I would like it to be on the record saying I like watching the Seattle Mariners play great baseball. It's fun when they play well.
Big Dumper having the best season
Brian
of catchers
Wu,
ever had.
Stud.
Yep.
Castillo, stud.
Right.
you know, Suarez coming back at the deadline has been not missed a beat there.
He's missed a little bit.
A little struggle,
but he's starting to swing it again.
But if the question is which team is most likely to miss out, I don't feel confidently in any of the current. So the division leaders, Toronto at the East, yep. Detroit at the Central,
yep.
Houston at the West. I think all of those are locked in. Now, whether they finish all that way, I don't know. Red Sox, Yankees, Mariners are the top three wildcard teams. Red Sox have been playing some unbelievable ball.
They've been looking great.
After trading Rafi Devers.
Yep.
Unbelievable ball. And yep. I did not see that coming at all. So hats off to them.
That'll be another talking point after this.
Sure. Perfect. Perfect. As much as I would love to have the Yankees collapse, again, want that on record. Mm. I would love a Yankees collapse. That would feed families.
Sign that, please.
That would feed families. I worry about Seattle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
And I do think it's fair because that, again, that West, you got three teams, 6.5 games apart. It's, you know, probably the second closest spread of three teams in a division race.
Right.
I do think it's fair to pick out the Mariners, but the Astros have not looked great either. Since the deadline and since they got Correa, I think their division lead has shrunk a little bit.
Yeah.
They are a team, to be honest, you maybe don't necessarily always hear that much about, at least recently.
Yeah.
You always, again, they're kind of in that line of you kind of just assume they're going to make the playoffs mm-hmm. and like you wait until playoff time. But
yeah,
I think they've missed Yordan Alvarez for a chunk of this season. Yeah. You know, the starting pitching has been okay and different things like that. But I've felt the Mariners, you know, they maybe haven't been playing overly great baseball, but they've been playing well enough to
absolutely
be in the playoffs. I don't see them missing it just from the standpoint. I think they're going to be able to win games.
Okay.
I just think right now,
and
the Yankees for me, and I say this, and they're up 3-0 on the Red Sox, but I just feel the Yankees oftentimes are shooting themselves in the foot more so than not, than just flat out losing games.
For sure.
And I just don't see the Mariners doing that as much.
For sure.
Now, that can all change, obviously, especially with as tight as things are in the American League.
Kansas City playing great ball.
Kansas City's figuring it
out. Texas, again, been playing good ball, but the injuries, like you mentioned,
could pile up.
Is that going to widen that gap a little bit? So I think Seattle is fine now,
mm-hmm.
but because the question is who do I think is most going to miss the playoffs potentially,
yeah.
I think Seattle could be that team, and I hope not. And if they make the playoffs,
yep.
Print a billboard in my face saying, idiot.
I was wrong.
You know, I was wrong. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And I will gladly, I am okay with that. Because I like watching Seattle in the playoffs.
I don't know if I have the money to do that, but we'll figure it out. Yep, that could be, you know, some advertising.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect.
Most likely to win the pennant. AL, NL.
Yeah. You know, I feel it's chalk in the NL.
I think there's four teams you can make a case for.
For sure.
I think there's two teams you probably won't.
I'm saying the Dodgers.
I agree.
I just...
I think Padres, you have a strong case for. I think the Phillies, you have a strong case for.
Yep.
The Mets, you have a strong case for. The Central, listen, I'm a Brewers fan. I love my team. I'm excited that they're doing as well as they are.
As you should.
I think they're having a little coming to earth moment a little bit here. And I think also, too, we're at a point where it's like you kind of got to start seeing like how deep they're willing to go with this. And I think they're willing to go as far as they have to and then some.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not they're going to be able to put it together.
Right.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned this. You were at the game last year, 2024 wild card game, game 3, Pete Alonso hits the home run.
Yeah. Right. In-house.
Boots
on the ground.
Probably one of the coolest, you know, back-to-back things, crowd pops of all time.
And unbelievable.
Then it's just air balloon gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like that's been the story with them, and I'm really hoping, you know, we can bring it home. Uke's in the outfield. Great.
Yeah.
But I think the other teams, you look at the depth that those teams have, and I would say more so on the Padres and the Phillies. Okay. I think it's going to come down to those two teams.
Okay.
The bullpen, the hitting, all of it, I think those two are the deepest teams. I think the Dodgers are coming down to earth a little bit.
Yep.
The Brewers, I think it's more of a we just need to get there kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yep.
They need to just not panic, just show yep. up, try to just, you know,
Don't try and do something else. Do what you can do well.
Do what you can do well. Yep. And I think this week especially, we've seen a little bit more of them trying to overextend themselves. So yep. I think there was that part of it.
Yep.
And then with the Cubs, it's just they just don't look great right now. So no. like right now, I would say I'll put my money out there and I'm going to say it's the Phillies.
Okay. I'm going LA. I'm going the Dodgers.
AL side. Boy,
that's tough.
Boy, you
I'd
know
love
what?
I'd love to see Detroit in the World Series.
I would too. I'm gonna say it's the Red Sox.
Okay, I don't
in
hate
a year,
that.
In a year, and this is maybe where we bring up Rafi Devers. In a year where I don't think anybody was necessarily expecting them to be over the top, mm-hmm. we're now talking about them being close enough to make a run at the division, and not only that, make a run to the World Series.
And almost beginning of September.
And almost beginning of September. Yeah. Like, you go from the Rafi Devers trade
yep.
and the saga that was
yep.
to now all of a sudden that team seems like they're playing free and they're focused and they're just ready to go.
Yep. Yep, you know, absolutely.
I think the Red Sox are going to be the sneakier team because, again, you look at the Blue Jays, pitching issues.
Yep.
You look at the Tigers, I think it's consistency. AL West is probably the more slept on division, but at the same time, they aren't really jumping off the board at you. No. And I just think you kind of got to figure out who's hot. And right now that would be the Red Sox.
Yep. I like that a lot. I think truthfully, I would love to sit here and say Detroit. As a baseball fan, I would love to see Detroit in the World Series.
Detroit,
that'd be awesome.
You look at what they were doing for the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, think about what they did for baseball in 2012, 2013, when those two teams were
yep.
phenomenal with Prince Fielder, Miggy,
yep.
Triple Crown, all that stuff.
Yep.
Again, team that was really close last year to being able to get into the ALCS.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it would be cool to see them in that too.
I feel Detroit is, and this is not a knock on them, I think they're probably another year, maybe two out from being a dog. I mean, a legit dog. Now, they did it last year, had a great year that not a single person saw coming.
Especially at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Doing it this year. So they're repeating the success. Can they do it again? And I hope so, and I think they are built to do it.
Mm.
I just don't think they have... You don't win until you do, and I get that.
Yep.
You know, it's like a job interview.
Yep.
Oh, well, you
don't get it.
You have to have 15 yeah. years of experience. Okay, well, I'm trying to, you know, that whole thing.
Yep.
So, like, I get that, but I think Detroit is... maybe a year out. I think next year, I think if they do it again, make a deep playoff run,
yeah,
maybe add a guy or two. I think we're having conversation of Detroit being a horse.
Mm.
I like the Red Sox one. I probably go that
just,
way. I mean, Crochet, you as a Red Sox fan, you hoped that this is what Crochet was going to do when you got him.
And he did.
And then
he has been.
And then on the back end, Aroldis Chapman.
Has looked like
holy
prime
cow.
Or Aroldis Chapman.
I mean, great for him.
Yep.
And they're doing all of this with trading the guy,
mm-hmm.
the holder for the keys of the kingdom in Boston, in Rafi Devers.
Well, what was the contract they signed him to? It was like 10 years, 300-some million, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And he was only in year two of that. Like, you traded away that whole thing you had built
yeah.
because he didn't want to go and move.
Yep.
You know, now he's in
risky.
San Francisco.
Very risky.
And San Francisco is just kind of middle ground. Granted, they've looked great against the Cubs
yep.
and the Brewers, but,
yep.
you know, they're kind of middle ground too
yep.
in a tough division, albeit. And, yeah, it's worked out really well for Boston, they have Roman Anthony, who is playing well. Mm-hmm. Rafaela, I think that's how you say his name. Yep. He's also playing well, too. And they've got a bunch of guys. You know, they a team, too. Develop really well through their farm system. Yep. Those guys are coming up and performing. The pitching's been there, both starters and the back end. And I think it's a team that's finally putting it together. And they get to October, they're dangerous.
We have seen Red Sox teams in October before.
Right.
And they are not typically an early exit team.
So, based off of that, who would you have win the World Series? For me, I would say probably off of that, I want the Brewers to win. I have to say it.
100%. I want the Brewers to win. Yep, for sure.
Between those two, I would probably have to say the Phillies.
Okay.
Boy, that's going to be a mess of a World Series. We'll get to that in a second. Hold on. You go ahead.
Yeah, no, if Wheeler hadn't gotten hurt and is done for the year,
yeah,
I would love that pick a lot more than I do. Mm. I do worry about now, you know, Ranger Suarez has been great.
Yep.
Christopher Sanchez has been great. Like, yep, they have had guys Lizardo's step up. Lizardo's been very good. So they can get by with those three guys, but in the playoffs, every really good team has one guy that, you know, like for those years, Madison Bumgarner.
Yep.
They had other solid pitchers.
Yep.
But you knew if Madison Bumgarner was healthy and playing, which he was every time, Giants were a force to be reckoned with, right?
Yeah.
And that worries me a little bit for the Phillies, and maybe one of those guys step up. And if that's the case, I could 100% see that happening.
Yeah. I think you've been so close with Harper, with Turner, Schwarber's playing well.
Yep.
Like, you've had all those guys for how many years? They were so close in 22.
Yeah.
At what point are you going to, like, you can't be more all in than you are. You just went out and got one of the more electric closers in the majors.
Yep.
You've got other players around him to be able to kind of be the setup guys. You didn't go out and get a closer to make him a setup guy.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know how you don't say, like, this is a year for the Phillies. I think that's the team that I may be most concerned about.
Sure.
We beat the Dodgers. Speaking for as a Brewers fan, beat the Dodgers six times this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do I see them beating them four times? I could. I think it would be very, 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 very tough, especially in October. Yeah. But I could. Padres, if you get on them early, might be fine. If you don't, good luck.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Cubs, I feel fine. I would put them in a seven game series, and I'd be nervous, and I probably wouldn't be able to watch. But I think we could. We didn't win the season series this year. Fine.
Whatever.
I think I'm fine if we take that series.
Yep.
Mets, I'm fine if we take that series.
Yep.
The Phillies is the one I'm most concerned about.
Yep. I gotta go with the Dodgers. Again, for me, I know they've underperformed. I know some guys haven't been as great. Maybe some health issues here and there. I just think when it's all said and done, I just have an extremely hard time picking against the Dodgers. And I feel I haven't picked against the Dodgers the last, like, 7 years.
You and see them every year, like, 9-10 times.
Oh, yeah, trust me. Like, I very aware. Like, when we won a series against the Dodgers this year, that was
your World Series.
That was my World Series. Pop champagne. Yep. Got the ring sent.
Yep.
I just have a really tough time looking at the Dodgers, who they are as a team, well managed, well run, guys who get it, who have been there before in many different playoff settings and have all had their own big moments.
Yep.
I struggle to look at that and see that can't do it again this year. Don't want it to.
But
realistically, I think for me, that's who I see.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'll be fun when we're both wrong and we're just like, didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
no.
Chicago Cubs, Seattle Mariners, World Series.
Gosh.
New York Mets, New York Mets, Seattle Mariners, World Series.
That one I can handle.
You can live with that.
That one I can handle.
Yep.
All right. Last one, both of us growing up, two teams that were kind of hit or miss with playoffs and things. You've been fortunate enough to see your team in a World Series.
Yep.
I've been fortunate enough to see my team almost get to a World Series. But because of that, with, you know, kind of smaller teams, smaller market teams and whatnot, there's been some really cool moments that you can kind of recall and call back to and whatnot and be like, you know, I was here when this happened. I was here when that happened. So our kind of cool, like, I guess, sports story, if you want to. What is the coolest moment that you got to witness with your team that you remember just kind of from growing up? Mind you, I'm 25. You're only a couple years older than me. I don't know.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're only a couple years older than me. So there are definitely things like I'm not going to recall 1982.
Right.
You know, for the Milwaukee. Right. I was not there.
Right.
My mom could, but I can't.
Yep.
But yeah, what is the coolest moment that you've been able to witness with your team?
Yeah. It is going to come from the World Series year in 2007. The Rockies were a team that were playing good baseball, not great baseball, kind of hovering around that 500 realm. And end of the season into the playoffs to the World Series, we won 21 of 22 games to get to the World Series. That was some unbelievable baseball that I got to watch with that. I vividly remember going to an NLDS game that year. When we played the Phillies and won, we swept our way through the playoffs until we got to the World Series, of course, which we got swept in by the Red Sox. But just that whole run and game 163, it almost could have not even happened. We had to play the San Diego Padres to get into the playoffs. This was before this wild card series where, like, if you were tied for a playoff spot, you played a game 163, and that was it. And we played the Padres, and Trevor Hoffman, second best closer of all time against the Padres.
At least based on saves.
Matt Holliday at third, Jamie Carroll, sack fly that was more a line drive in the short right field. You know, depending on who you are, you might say, did Matt Holliday touch home plate? Well, we won the game. So he touched home plate. He touched home plate.
That was before replay.
Exactly. Can send it to New York. So just that whole run and watching that was unbelievable. Even, you know, a team that, you know, our ace that year was Jeff Francis. And for a lot of people listening to this, you're going to say, who is Jeff Francis?
I have a baseball card with a bat from him. That's the era of baseball that we're talking about right now, is that pitchers had cards, relic cards that had bats in them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was our guy. And so it was so fun to watch a team that had no expectations going into the year, having a rookie Troy Tulowitzki, who should have won Rookie of the Year. Ryan Braun did not deserve that Rookie of the Year in 07. I'll die on that hill. Had like 20-some errors at third base, not deserving.
Well, that's because he was a left fielder.
Why'd they play him at third base that year?
Because he came up as a third baseman, but we didn't find out he was a left fielder until we put him in left field.
Yeah, understandable. But anyways, debate for another day. That whole run was awesome. And I'm gonna touch on one other Rockies moment. 2018, when we played the Chicago Cubs in the wild card round. We're coming off of a year in 2017 where we made the playoffs, played Arizona in that winner go home game. Lost. We almost hit back-to-back-to-back home runs, and then just the Archie Bradley triple off of Pat Neshek in the gap just gives me nightmares to this day. But that 2018 wild card game against the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field, probably not a single person on planet Earth expecting us to win that game. You talk about superstitious. Yes, Jake, and raising your hand.
Yeah, I was fully on board the Rockies train at that point.
October 2018. For me, I was so superstitious watching that game. I did not move from the spot of my couch, and I had a friend sitting to the left of me who I also did not let move when the game was just locked the whole time. He eventually escaped and went to the bathroom at one point, but I was mad. But we ended up winning, so it didn't matter. Just that whole game being on pins and needles, watching like zero offense from either side going on. And then we get the Tony Walters is the hero for the Colorado Rockies, gets the base hit up the middle off of Kyle Hendricks, and then Scott Oberg closing it in extra innings was just, was just electric. And that was, 07 was great. That was some of my earliest Rockies memories. Getting to watch my team play in the World Series is something I won't ever forget.
Right.
But 2018, when I was a more conscious understanding of what being a baseball fan is all about,
right,
that was like, for me, like peak Rockies fandom.
Right.
And that was unbelievable. And then we traded Nolan Arenado, and now we're the worst team in potentially baseball history. But
yeah, but you're still getting more fans in your stadium than like five or six teams. In
very
MLB,
true.
So
very
there's
true.
There's that.
Yep.
For me, I remember this. So one thing on the whole 2007 thing, so a little bit of pain. There's going to be a little bit of pain in this for you. I apologize.
Ouch.
So 07, the Red Sox won in Denver.
Correct.
2008, I go on a tour of Coors Field, and they still had dents in the ceiling from when Big Poppy was dancing on the table.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. From the celebration of that. So, you know, I'm a little eight-year-old walking through this baseball stadium, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's from David Ortiz when he was dancing on the table during the World Series. And so I look up, and I just see this dent from, you know, head up there, which, by the way, they call him Big Poppy. He is a big dude. Why you're up on a table dancing in a like that ceiling has maybe 11 or 12 feet clearance. Like he's at least half the size of that, and that table probably brings him up even more, and you're jumping around dancing on the table. Like, all right.
Yeah.
But 2008, Brewers trade for CC Sabathia. Possibly the greatest deadline acquisition I think ever. For what he brought, arguably probably had the, you know, if you only took the 2.5 months he was there and put that across a whole season, you're probably saying that pitcher had a phenomenal season.
Yep.
There were a lot of times he was pitching on 3 days rest.
Yep.
You know, in the week leading up to the end of the season, Brewers are getting hot right at the right time, had a bunch of walk-offs against the Pirates, Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun hitting home runs. I remember this vividly, and I will say my dad is probably going to end up listening to this. He's going to get a kick out of this. So growing up, lived two blocks from the school my mom taught at that I went to grade school at. They had cable TV.
Okay.
So, you know, we'd go up there and she would bring us with just because she didn't really trust us at home alone at that point, which was fine. I was a menace. It's okay.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, I'm eight at the time, didn't have cell phones, anything. And so we're sitting in our classroom, and local, I think it was technically through Chicago, but it came all the way out to Minnesota. WGN would broadcast like Sunday games and stuff like that for the Cubs. Well, the Brewers are playing the Cubs. It's the final Sunday of the year, final game of the year.
Yeah.
Brewers are playing the Cubs. So, of course, we're going to go up to school. We're going to watch it because I don't think we had cable at home at that point. So we're watching it up at school. And I just remember I was playing on the playset that my mom had in her classroom, and the TV starts getting really loud because Ryan Braun just hit the two-run home run to put us up.
Yeah.
So then I'm just standing there, like, watching the game with my mom as we're both just freaking out because, like, to that point, the last time the Brewers were in the playoffs was when they went to the World Series.
Sure, yeah.
So, like, my mom has more of an understanding. I'm just excited because the Brewers are winning.
Yeah, your mom's excited.
My
just
mom's
another
excited
game.
Because, you know, for whatever. So, like, you mentioned, like, oh, yeah, being more of a wherewithal fan. Definitely didn't know what was going on. I'm just excited because my team's winning and we might make it to this thing called the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they end up winning. Great. End up losing 3-1 to the Phillies in the NLDS. All right. We at least took a game there.
Yeah.
More conscious, 2018, the ride that, the year that Christian Yelich had and whatnot. And then, you know, we end up sweeping the Rockies. I think the moment that I really felt amazing was game six of the NLCS when we put up the four spot in the first inning.
Yeah. Was that the Woodruff home run game?
No. Ironically enough, I didn't see that.
Okay.
I was doing homework, actually. Because I was a freshman in college.
Oh, right. Good impression. Gotta get good grades.
No, I was doing something that was due that night. And so I needed to.
Okay, we're going to procrastinate
a little
bit.
Yeah. That's fair. You know, I did turn on after that happened.
Sure.
Because, yeah, just I knew if I was watching the game, I wasn't getting my homework done. So, yeah. But I did watch game six in that first inning. And, man, the feeling I had where it was just like, we might get absolutely swept by the Rockies, but like we're gonna take it to these Dodgers guys and we're gonna do it. And like, you know, Yelich hits the home run, which game seven I was a nervous wreck. That one I'm a little less fond of, but game six it was just like the high I got off of that, you like, know, four run cow. Inning, like holy cow, like this looks great. Wish this was the clinching game.
Yeah.
You know, different things like that. Yeah. Felt good. And like that 2018 year will always be special.
Yeah.
I don't,
for the both of us.
I don't think it was, well, and like game 163, we're able to beat them in Wrigley. And I don't think a lot of people were necessarily expecting that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, if you're a Cubs fan, you're going from like, oh yeah, we should be able to beat the Brewers, be the division champs, be the one seed, to now all of a sudden we have to play the Rockies. Now we're actually bounced by the Rockies.
Yeah.
Like that stinks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the Cubs have been the same since.
No. Rockies ended the Cubs? Question mark.
Well, and then I think the Rockies actually got it worse, actually.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, okay. but yeah, no, pretty cool. And like, obviously the Brewers have had more cool moments since.
Yeah.
And I think that's why at least like this year of all years, just like, I just want to see him do it. You know,
I would like to have
just want to see him.
One more off of that. And you did kind of mention it. Last year, game three, the wild card game. Mets, Brewers.
Man.
I would like to say that is maybe the most electric playoff sports environment I have been in my entire life. Now this is saying I haven't been to an Avalanche playoff game in Denver. I haven't been to a Nuggets playoff game in Denver.
NHL is a different breed.
NHL is a different breed. My opinion would probably change if I have, but I haven't.
Yep.
That was the most electric environment I have ever been a part of at a live sporting event.
Roof was closed, right?
Roof was closed. So the loudness just meter echoes, just even so much better. And and
it's a packed house.
Packed house.
45,000 in there.
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about when Jake Bowers hits the home run. Again, I've said this a few times. I think if you were to think of literally any combination in that Brewers lineup of guys to go back-to-back, I would be very shocked if your first guess is Jake Bowers and Sal Frelick. But boy, that is exactly what happened. And Sal Frelick, that is a definition of a no-doubter.
Frelick's bomb. I mean, that games two and three, so take game one out of that. Game two, like, you get Churio hitting the two home runs, and then Mitchell, who I have a massive baseball card collection of that guy, just because I love his story.
Yep.
He's a fun guy to watch. I wish he would be healthy. Garrett, I hope,
you know, if
you're listening to this, I hope you get a full year. I hope you get a full career.
Yep.
You know, I wish you all the best.
Yep.
Cool dude. Played for the Mankato Moondogs also.
Okay, yeah.
Which that's only relevant just because we are in Mankato.
Yep.
But, you know, he hits that home run, and just the feeling going into that game of like, all right, we've shaken the demons off us a little bit. Diamondbacks just kind of whooped us in the wild card series of the year before.
Yeah.
Shaking them off a little bit, and like those two home runs, it's like, oh my, like, we're going to do it.
And I obviously am not a Brewers fan, but I am a sports fan. And that was peak sports fandom. That's what you want. I mean, when Frelick hit the bomb to make it the back-to-back.
Yeah. I'm getting chills thinking about it right now, by
dude,
the way.
And being in that stadium, I'm telling you, there, I have never been in a more electric sporting environment game in my entire life. High-fiving strangers. Like, there was a guy who Bowers hit the home run. You know, I turned around. I don't know what his name is. I can barely remember what he looks like. But high-fived him.
Yep.
Sal Frelick hits the home run. Gave him a high five. Turn around. Turn back. Another high five. Shirt is off. His shirt is off. Thrown it around in the air. So, like, that's, like, just the electricness. And then just to have then going into that game, you can ask Austin Schmidt, who we both know. He went to the game with me as well, too. I said, best case scenario, because it's Tobias that was pitching.
Tobias Myers, yep.
If you can give him a good six, maybe seven innings out of him,
yep.
Bring in Freddy Peralta to pitch an inning or two.
Which he pitched 36 hours before, or, you know, 48 hours correct. Before that.
And then have Devin Williams. I told him this.
Yeah.
That is going to be a great recipe. I would not be shocked if that happens at all. Yeah. Sure enough, you get a solid quality start from Tobias Myers.
Yep.
In comes Freddy Peralta. I'm thinking,
I'm a genius.
give me the job. And then Devin Williams just, and the collapse. I mean, and you talk about from being a part of the highest of highs to then Pete Alonso hitting that home run. And you hear the term, you know, it's so quiet you could hear a pin drop.
Mm.
Literally. I mean, I could hear the Mets players cheering.
Yeah.
And I was in the third deck by the third base foul pole.
Mm.
You know, like...
Oh, you were in the boondocks. You were, like, way...
Good seats, though.
Yeah.
Very good seats. But, boy, you could... That was depressing.
And I
felt that.
I have to call this guy out, too. I have Keegan is his name. And he literally said going into the ninth inning, oh, Pete Alonso home run incoming. Mind you, he's not watching the game.
Oh,
not a
no.
Brewers fan. Not a Mets fan. Right?
Oh, no.
Just not even.
Just and trolling.
That was as the inning started.
Yes, that was before the collapse was even before, thought about maybe happening.
Yes. I will say, and Williams is a guy, I like him. I wish him all the best in New York. He's in a tough spot, too. You know, we've touched on the Yankees and whatnot. He was traded to the Yankees this past offseason. But the day before, he had 11 pitches. And usually when Williams has one really good outing, he's shaky the next day.
Mm.
And I was just sitting there like, this is going to be 25, 30 pitches of just torture.
Mm. And just to make matters worse, I am honored and lucky to have been at Bob Uecker's last ever game that he was alive. But also, you think about in the realm of, like, that's the last ever Brewers game he ever watched. Like, that, for me as a baseball fan, and I'm sure it's a heck of a lot deeper for you as a Brewers fan, but for me as a baseball fan, that's like, holy cow. You talk about sad. I mean, that is a tough pill to swallow.
And it's like you have to look at it this way, too. That's just the way that the game is.
For sure.
You know, everybody has those games where it's like, you know, just gut punch.
Yeah.
But, you know, that one especially, like you saw it in Christian Yelich's face, who he wasn't even on the field. He wasn't even playing the game. He was out recovering from back surgery. You just saw the tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
That, you know, there was a lot of emotion in that because, you know, the players had a pretty good idea that that was probably going to be his last one. I think there was a lot of things that wasn't made known about the condition of Bob Uecker, and I think for good reason.
Yep.
You know, one, privacy reasons.
Right.
Two,
he doesn't make it about him.
It's not about him.
And he could have had every right to say this is what's going on, and everyone would have respected it.
And
but just who he is, that wasn't him.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it makes it sadder now in this moment, but I think also at the same time, too, like, you're more conscious of it now, and it's like, man.
Right.
Like,
Just
the climax. And again, you couldn't script a better story for a playoff series and a playoff game.
Yeah.
You hate being on this side of it, but at the same time, too, great.
Sporting, series. Yep.
Great.
That's what you want
spectacle.
From a sports fan.
So, but, yeah. Anything else? Anything else?
Covered a lot. We covered a lot right now.
I guess we want other episodes of this, so we shouldn't call.
Yeah, can't show all of our cards right away.
Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening. We hope to do this more. We don't have any sort of schedule set up at all.
We'll get one
eventually. You're busy doing other fun things. You play town ball. You play church league softball. I just go out and recruit cross country and track.
I just do that.
It's pretty cool.
College
it's
coach
pretty cool
get to
gig.
Recruit athletes. Pretty sweet.
It's just busy.
Very busy.
Sporadic.
Very sporadic.
Which I guess, you know, that's the life of high schoolers now. But this will be out on different podcast platforms. So if you enjoy it, definitely feel free to follow along, hit a subscribe button, and you know, we'll tell more stories of our fandom of our teams and times of heartbreak and times of awesomeness. And
one more than others.
Hopefully a bunch more than, I mean, you'll have your time when we get to NBA and NHL, and sure. We still got to talk about the Dolphins thing. So,
yep.
But yeah, we appreciate you tuning in, and we look forward to chatting in the future.
Absolutely.